morning, Evan Briggs. Great to have you here. And boy, we've got a good Wednesday show lined up for you. Lots of different things going on. U.S. government has shut down, which, as far as us here in Canada, could cause some travel disruptions. Minimum wage going up today. We've got open lines coming up for you to discuss whatever is on your mind. An announcement yesterday that not good for the oil business. Imperial Oil laying off 20% of its workforce in the next year and a half, which is a good day to have Brian Zinchuk stop by coming up later this morning. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener and a whole lot more, but I am so excited to get to our first guest. So let's get going with today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Last night, there was a great event in Regina at the Kinexus Arts Center called Celebrating Indigenous Hockey Legends, and a number of great hockey stars there. But one of the ones, of course, that caught my attention is the great Brian Trottier, who played hockey for 18 seasons in the NHL. He was one of the mainstays of that New York Islander dynasty in the 1980s. Ended up winning seven Stanley Cup rings in an incredible career, four with the Islanders, a couple with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then one is a coaching career as an assistant coach with the Colorado Avalanche. Incredible career. Drafted 1974. They don't come much bigger, if you ask me, and I might be a little bit biased when it comes to the New York Islanders, but boy, so excited to have the great Brian Trottier joining me in studio this morning. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Great to have you. I love the fact that you got a text from your niece. Is that right?
Are you going to be on the Evan Bray Show? I said, tomorrow, sweet. Yeah.
That's so awesome. We're very happy to have you back in town. I've been going on and on without you getting too freaked out about me needing a restraining order. I'm a big Islander fan. So it's awesome to have you here. So I'm curious to know, I'm sure you can't even remember life before hockey. What are your earliest memories of hockey?
Vividly, I remember Jean Béliveau holding the Stanley Cup. It was like 1963 or 64, Montreal Canadiens, and he walked off the ice holding the Stanley Cup. I turned to my mom and dad. We were watching the hockey on Hockey Night in Canada. I said, I want to win the Stanley Cup. And dad said, well, you better start practicing. And he flooded the river down right by the house. And I skated every day, and we had a beaver dam, and dad would chop the beaver dam, and we'd have fresh ice whenever we wanted it. And it was, I thought it'd come out of there like a fire hydrant, right? And I'm like, God, this is like spectacular. And, you know, I can still remember him standing like vividly on the top of that dam, you know, the snow glistering all around him. He, boom, one mighty chop, and then he busts through the beaver dam, and the water come gushing out. And those are my earliest memories of skating and playing hockey and learning how to skate. And I still remember frozen cows. I remember lots of twigs in the ice, you know, that got frozen in the ice through the winter. And, you know, and I'd kind of stick handle around those things. But you learn how to skate. And then they finally had minor hockey in Valmerie. And, the rest is kind of history. Like, you're going through Valmerie and playing with mom's hometown of Climax, winning some championships, going down to Swift Current. And it was a path.
You know, I look back at your career, and you talked about your junior hockey. I've seen you do interviews and talk about the importance that different people in your life have had. Yeah. You talk fondly about your parents. I've listened to you talk, though, also about Tiger Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about your friendship with him and how he played such an instrumental part in your career?
Yeah, you know, like I needed a big brother. I didn't know the path that was to get to the NHL, and this guy seemed like bigger than life, and he was intense, and he was motivated, and, you know, I just kind of was like a little puppy dog. He was a couple of years older than me, and so through Stan Dunn's hockey camp, he was vital, and then through junior hockey, 2 years of junior hockey, I wanted to quit one year, and he brought me back into Swift Current and said, no one's going to touch you anymore, and he taught me how to grapple, and those things are important to a kid who is pretty naive and pretty unsure, not as confident as Tiger was. And he made me feel more confident. Mm-hmm. He made me feel bigger. I wasn't afraid anymore because he grappled every day to kind of taught me how to take care of myself on the ice. And I wasn't afraid. And all of a sudden, like, hockey became fun at the junior level. And we had some success together. And I think we pushed and pulled each other. And I think that brotherhood and that friendship is still alive today.
If I can be so bold, you mentioned quickly there in your answer that you wanted to quit at one point. Why was that, Brian?
Well, I wasn't playing much. I was my first year playing junior hockey, and I was like 16 years old, and I was playing against guys that were like 6 inches taller and, you know, 60 pounds heavier, and I was getting ragdolled every game and playing 5 minutes a game, going to school the next day with black eye, fat lip. Was not fun. And not playing much. And I said, you know, Christmas time, I'm just going to go home, and I'll go back to school in town and play hockey in my hometown. And, you know, it was just hockey just wasn't fun. And when Tiger played my line and nobody touched me anymore, hockey was fun again. So, like, and scoring goals, and, you know, he scored a ton of goals. And he was underrated as far as playmaker and a teammate. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better teammate. And, you know, it was a bond, and it became a bond. Even when we played against each other, I remember, like, we played them in the finals 1 year against Vancouver. It's tough to play against your buddies, right? And he goes, he sees my mom in Swiftcar, and he trots across the street. Hi, Mary, how are you? Hi, Tiger, how are you? Well, I tried to break your son's neck last year in the playoffs. Well, hi, Tiger, how's Brenda? You know, and those, and, oh, boy. And that's so Tiger, right? Yeah. But, you know, he's a special human being in my life. And, like I said, I needed a big brother, and he was right there.
I love it. Brian Trottier is our guest, former NHL great, who is, in the province for a couple of different events here over the next week. Can we talk a bit about the Islanders? Yes. Obviously, I love to talk about the New York Islanders, but, 4 straight Stanley Cups in the early 80s. What was it? What was the secret ingredient? I mean, there was a number of really good players, you being one of the top ones, but the ingredient though?
I think there was just a group of us. I think we were young, we were eager, we were hungry. Now, we had a great coach, Al Arbor. We had a really good system. We all believed in the system. We were very disciplined to the system. And Bill Torrey was a good general manager. There was enough of that kind of atmosphere in that core group that we all kind of grew up together. We climbed the ladder together. So I moved there in 75. And through the late 70s, we had some disappointing years, but we had some really successful stuff that happened too. Like, I won scoring championship, but there was success with the team. We won first in our division. Of course, we get knocked off by the Maple Leafs in 78 and the Rangers in 79. But you learn from those kind of devastating losses, so to speak. And Bill and Al were great. You know, they didn't tear us up. They said, hey guys, we have a choice here. You either learn from your mistakes or you keep going. And there was some key stuff that happened, like Butch Goring came on the team. Kenny Morrow added to the team. They were ingredients, right? And you need that chemistry and guys contributing. And all of a sudden, you know, just good things happened. We came together all at the right time. And everybody grabbed a hold of the rope. And, you know, as God is a big part of my life, I said, I had Tiger and Junior, and I had this big burly left winger, Clark Gillies, on the left side. And he took care of us. I mean, he was the big man in the locker room. We had Bobby Nystrom. We had a tough team, Gary Howitt. We had guys that wanted to win and wanted to, like, take care of Mike Bossy and let Mike do his magic. And Dennis Pott, great power play. We had special teams. There were a lot of things. We stayed healthy for, you know, through those 4 Stanley Cups. And, you know, we maintained a certain discipline, but we're also hungry. We listened to people that we believe were going to make it successful. And that was Bill Torrey and Al Arbor. And they were kind of the father figures of our team. And enough young leadership that we all kind of grabbed and we stayed together. You know, hey, the rest is kind of history. Because, like, you look at the Islanders and you say, the Oilers studied us. We studied Montreal. And those creepy Oilers came along, and we almost had 5.
All right. Well, this is a great conversation. We're talking with NHL legend, Hockey Hall of Fame inductee Brian Trottier. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more great questions, including some of your thoughts and questions for this NHL legend when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. If you're just joining us, we're having a great conversation this morning with Brian Trottier, NHL legend, Hockey Hall of Fame inductee, an award winner. I mean, so many different awards. NHL Rookie of the Year, Calder Memorial Trophy there, Hart Trophy, Conn Smythe, Art Ross for point leader. The list goes on and on. We were just talking about your dynasty with the New York Islanders, 4 Stanley Cups, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention what a Saskatchewan presence on that team as well.
Yeah, we were pretty proud of that. Like, the western part of Canada can be proud, you know, but from Saskatchewan, Alberta, you know, we had good representation, British Columbia. We had guys that were, you know, kind of, we thought, you know, the meat and potatoes of this team is the Westerners, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a certain pride and a grittiness, I think, in all of us, and I think a work ethic, and you kind of carried those onto the team. So, yeah, like Clark Gillies, you know, Chico Rush, Saskatchewan boys, you know, Bobby Nystrom, Gary Howitt, you know, good Alberta boys, and the Sutters come along, good Alberta boys. And it just seemed like there was like a good, strong presence. And obviously, this is no disrespect to my buddy Billy Smith and Dennis Potvin and Mike Bossy, sure, obviously, but, you know, that grittiness of the Western guys, and I think just the bus rides, you know, the snowstorms, getting through the weather and grinding it out. You know, they had little short bus rides in the East. We'd tease them a little bit, but we had a good, I think, confluence of talent from Europe with Anders Kalour and Stefan Pearson, and then we had the Quebec scorer Mike Bossy, and obviously we, you know, Dennis Potvin, you know, like, you know, the anchor on defense, our captain, and I mean, just a great core group of guys. And but that Saskatchewan group, we're kind of proud of ourselves.
So can we talk just quickly here? I don't want to run out of time, but I got lots to talk to you about. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about the transition to Pittsburgh, because we were just talking about key ingredients for the New York Islanders.
Yep.
You were clearly seen in the early 90s, well, 1990, as an ingredient they wanted in Pittsburgh. What did you see your role as when you moved there?
Craig Patrick, general manager, was really good. You know, I'd called some teams and Craig said, why do you want to come to Pittsburgh? I said, well, I want to come to Pittsburgh to win a cup with Mario Lemieux. I'd called Detroit and talked to Jimmy Devolano. He was a scout with our team. And I said, I want to win a cup with Steve Yzerman. And I called some teams. You know, I always wanted to be Maple Leaf. I called Maple Leafs. I called Bruce McNall out in L.A. I wanted to see maybe I could help Wayne win a cup out in L.A. But Craig was fantastic. He said, I'll have a contract to you in 15 minutes. And it was great because that appreciation of bringing, I don't know, just some Stanley Cup leadership and all that fun stuff that comes with you. You know, I wasn't the youngest guy on the team, but I was probably the more experienced guy. And we had Paul Coffey was in Pittsburgh, and you know, he'd come in. And now they got the 1-2 punch with Mario and Paul, and I come in and add another little dimension of leadership. And I think that appreciation just kind of elevated me and made me feel appreciated again. And I think that enthusiasm of having young Mark Recchi, Kevin Stevens, I mean, there's just a whole thing that just kind of rallied. And Craig was kind of the genius behind it all.
I love it. I've heard it said before that you did for the Pittsburgh Penguins what Butch Goring did when they brought him in to the Islanders in the early 80s.
You always want to contribute. I think Butch came to the Islanders at the right time for us. I mean, he was a guy that could do a lot of things, and that's kind of my role in Pittsburgh. I could do a lot of things and in a lot of different ways, right? I could play center, take faceoffs and kill penalties, jump in, play, you know, help out an offense here and there. We had a young Jaromir Jagr who was fantastic to play with. So all those kind of things just kind of like made me feel like, you know what, hey, if I can be a older veteran guy that can bring some experience to all these young kids that were eager, use their enthusiasm and my, you know, kind of my 30-year-old experience at the time, it all worked out for us really well.
I've got a handful of questions that people texted in, but before I get to that, we've been talking about the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. You've been very open and talked lots about your Métis, your Cree heritage. Can you talk about why that's important and how that motivated you and maybe shaped you into the person you are?
Well, growing up in the 1960s and 70s and playing hockey, you know, there's some stuff said on the ice and, you know, prior to games and during games, you know, they're kind of like, you can either take it or you got to be able to like dish it. And I was just as good at dishing as I was taking it. But you get thick skin and everybody gets kind of teased in those days about your heritage. And, you know, there was nicknames for the German people. There was nicknames for the Italian people and the Irish and the natives, and everybody had a nickname and they weren't very nice, a lot of them. But at the same time, Mom and Dad were great. You know, Mom's Irish, Dad was, you know, Cree Chippewa, French. And for us, you know, they taught us to be proud of where we come from, our backgrounds, our heritage. All those things are important. So when the Dad explained to me about being Native and the strength and the athleticism and Mom being Irish and, you know, the power of, and I, two uncles that were great athletes, I said, wow, I'm one step ahead of everybody else. I got this blood, you know, that thanks, Mom and Dad. Yeah. But they made us feel proud of it. And when I talk to kids in Native communities or in other schools, I always say, be proud of your heritage. Doesn't matter what your background is. You know, don't let bad talk. People are just jealous. And we were taught early that discrimination was just a form of jealousy. They're trying to knock us down, or they're trying to knock you down because you're good at something. They try to bring you down. And so I tell everybody else, like, be proud of your roots. Be proud of your parents, your grandparents, where you come from, and use it as strength and an advantage. So Truth and Reconciliation, I think, is wonderful because it brings, I think, a pride of Native heritage. And I think our country as a whole come together and recognize that whatever damage was done in the old, let's look at our strengths today and let's combine all our strengths and use them together and make us all proud that we're Canadians.
NHL great Brian Trottier in studio today. He's in Saskatchewan for a couple of different events, including a big Sask Card and Collector Experience Show happening at Prairie Land this weekend in Saskatoon. I'm going to get you to hang on for one more break because we've got so many listener questions coming in. I'm going to do my best to get to a handful of those. So stick around. More with NHL great, New York Islander great, seven-time Stanley Cup winner Brian Trottier when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, Evan Bray, on this Wednesday morning. If you are just joining us, you're tuning into a treat because I am so excited that we've got NHL legend Brian Trottier joining us in studio, and I finagled keeping Brian here for a little bit longer because I threw it out to you. I said, if you've got a question that you would like to ask the great Brian Trottier, give us a text, and you didn't disappoint. So many text messages have come out. So, Brian, thanks for sticking around. Let's jump right into it. I got a text from Dawn wanting to know, obviously, you made a lot of great friends through your NHL career. Do you still keep in touch with any of your old teammates?
All the time. We talk all the time. We, you know, technology today is great. We can Zoom. We had a 50th celebration with my Climax team from our midget championships back in Saskatchewan and Yorkton and Weyburn Pee Wee tournaments. It was just great to get together. And that's what it's like. You get together with the guys. We seldom talk hockey, but we talk a little bit hockey. We talk about grandkids. We talk about family. We talk about the fun stuff, right? What you're doing now. And it's really kind of great to kind of get together. And if like Clark Gillies just passed away like a couple of years ago, and Mike Bossy, and I still talk to their families, and it's great because that family connection is very important to all us hockey guys.
Next question. What rink or city was the hardest for you to play in as a visiting player?
As a visiting player, the Vancouver, the old Pacific Coliseum was a little tough. It was a quiet building, and it's, for whatever reason, the atmosphere there didn't generate a lot of good hockey emotion for our team. I think it helped the Vancouver Canucks beat the crap out of us when we went in there, but we just couldn't get the juice flowing. A very quiet building. That was my toughest arena. Even though it was a gorgeous arena, great fans. It was just a tough arena. There was some, you know, like obviously the Phil Flyers, the Rangers, and those really, those high intensity rivalry games, you know, within our division, another level, Montreal Canadiens, Toronto, the original six teams were pretty easy to get up for, but that Vancouver arena, for whatever reason, that was a little tough arena for me.
Another question here from David wanting to know, you've scored obviously hundreds of goals and hundreds of points. Is there one that stands out as the biggest or maybe your most favorite of your career?
Oh my God, there's so many. You know, there's some fun goals. I think if I had to pick one, the 500 goal was pretty special in the sense that there's so few players that had accomplished 500 goals. I'm not really a natural goal scorer, even though I love scoring goals. But playing with Mike Bossy and having that hunger of him wanting to score 50 every year, you know, that was fun being around because it made me a little hungrier to score goals, help the team win. I was kind of the playmaker. I took a lot of pride in that. But those moments of scoring an overtime goal against the Rangers, I think was a kind of a nice skill goal. But the really fun goals were scored, like I scored, I think, five goals in one game one time against the Rangers. All five of those goals were fun. It happened like just before Christmas. And every one of those goals was fun. But I scored five goals in two periods. And Dave Maloney comes out. He's playing on the Rangers. And he said, if you score another goal, we're bag skating tomorrow. And I said, I picked up an assist. I wasn't scoring any more goals. They had three guys on me the rest of the night. But those are fun moments.
Yeah. If you could go back and do it all over again, is there one game that you would be first and foremost wanting to replay? It could be because you loved it so much. It could be as a do-over. It's a great question from one of our listeners.
I'd really like to tackle the Oilers one more time. If we had one more crack at them, even though they wrestled it from us in 84, if we could have played them one more time in 85, and like we teased the Oilers because they changed the format. It was a 2-3-2. And if we could do that series over and make it a 2-2-1-1-1, but I think if we could have tackled them one more time, I really would have cherished that because they're great guys, great champions. We've got to know them over the years. If you're going to lose to somebody, lose to great guys that are going to be great champions. And they are great guys and great champions. So from Wayne to Paul to to Yuri, to Glenn Anderson, to Mark Messick. Like, every one of those guys are great guys, and they're really good champions. And I'd like to have one more crack at those guys, just because, you know, we felt, you know, like, we didn't play our best, and they kind of got the luck of the draw and then getting that 2-3-2. But, you know, they took advantage of it. God bless them. But we'd like another crack at it.
I get one more question here. This one's from Leanne. Obviously, winning a Stanley Cup is something that all young hockey players aspire to do in their career. You did it a number of times. Is it possible to say one was better than all the rest? Was the first one the best, or does each one have a special memory?
Leanne, that is the greatest question. I get asked that a lot. The first one is, for me, was the best, because that, when I was a champion for the first time, a dream come true, all those wonderful things, and just the emotion of it. And I think just the remembering, your senses peak because you want to grasp that moment. I think that makes it special. But to do repeat and then three-peat and then four, you know, four, like, it was just beyond what you could imagine as far as, like, emotion, celebration, and to have that and to share it with all the fans is, like, spectacular. Go to Pittsburgh and then have 7 years between the last one with the Islanders and the first one with Pittsburgh and celebrate it all over again, because it was the first one for the Penguins and their fans, was really spectacular. Just to say it was better, it was so different, but it was pretty spectacular. And then to repeat there with that crew of guys, with Yarmer, Mario, and all that crew, was just really a lot of fun. And the city of champions in Pittsburgh, we celebrated pretty hard in Long Island, but that city, they know how to celebrate. I think there's just a lot of unique, special stuff about you, each one. But that first one's hard to say there's anything better.
I'm going to just finish up with just a couple more quick things. And maybe the first one I'll ask is, when you look at the NHL today, is there something that you think is missing from today's game that you experienced when you played?
Yes, we get asked that question a lot too. Obviously, the goaltending is so different. I mean, and I've asked all the guys, Mario and Mike Bossy before he passed, and Gilbert Perreault, and every guy that I've talked to, they said they would love to take a crack at these goalies. And each one of them I say, how do you think you do? They go, oh, no problem. And that's the goal scorer's mentality, right? That would be a lot of fun. I think the thing that's missing for me is the battles in the corners, the battles in front of the net. You don't see a lot of that, and the spontaneous battles, you know, that happen because of it. You know, there's just, it seems like it's a little bit like, okay, we don't want to get overly aggressive. We don't want to take a penalty. You know, there's no slashing. There's no hooking on the arms, that kind of stuff, which is great because it opens the speed of the game up. I think that's all great. But the battles, I think, are missing a little bit, and the spontaneous battles, you know, they're grinding it out in the corners. I don't see a lot of that, and it's not because the players don't do it. It just seems like it's so fast out there, and there's don't want to take a penalty.
Right. Last question here before we end our chat with Brian Trottier. What advice do you give? You get the opportunity to talk to young hockey players all the time. What advice do you give them and their parents, who are probably listening to the message as well?
Well, you know, the parents are wonderful. You know, we all want something, you know, not just exciting and makes our kids happy, but we want something dynamic. We want something that's over the top, right? And it's really fun watching my son play, and parents will come up and say, hey, can you watch my son too and tell me what he's got to work on? And I'm saying, you know what? Okay, that's no problem. But here's what I tell every kid. You know, go to the rink every day with purpose. Go to the rink and practice something. Don't just go there and put the time in. Go in with a purpose. Then work on everything that the team is working on as well. But spend some time on yourself, working on something, whether it's shooting at the top shelf, a backhand pass, or, you know, whatever it is, you work on something, go to the rink with a purpose. The second thing is stay disciplined. Get the three most important things, which is rest, the proper diet, and exercise. You need those things. So stretching and working on your conditioning, your muscles, and all that stuff. Those are the things I tell the kids, because everybody can do those. It's not like you have to be a great athlete, you know, to work on some, on go to the rink and work with a purpose. It's not like you need a great athlete, you know, to get the proper rest, proper diet, proper exercise. Everybody can do that. And it's not gender specific. You can be female, male, it doesn't matter. You can do those things. Mm-hmm. And to the parents, I tell them the same thing. You know, provide an atmosphere where the kids are getting the right kinds of foods, and, you know, you're being a good example and mentor for these kids, and get them to the rink, get them to school, get them, you know, get them on a regimen, and make it easy for them, so that, 'cause that's what my parents did. My parents made it easy for me. It wasn't, you know, oh, just only work out. we had chores to do. We had, you know, milk cows to milk. We had a garden we had to weed. And that's exercise. And, you know, that's discipline. And that's work ethic. And when you do those kinds of things, it all pays off. You know, I say to myself, you know what? My mom and dad, they made it kind of a destiny for me in a sense, because the atmosphere that we had as a family and providing me with the right kinds of foods and, mm-hmm. And equipment when I needed it, you know, didn't have a lot of money, but I had all the stuff I needed in order to be successful. So you provide an atmosphere of success for the kids, and, you know, and then the rest is up to them. You know, if you have to give them a boot in the butt, my parents had the best. They said, do your homework, lose your skates. I was like, that was the best motivation for me. I don't want to lose my skates. My homework is always done.
This has been such a great chat, Brian. I really appreciate you coming into studio. Pleasure. Thank you for always being gracious when you come home to Saskatchewan. We're always all happy to see you, but this has been a great chat.
We're proud of my roots, and it's so much easier. The older I get, the more fun it is to reminisce and tell these fun stories. So thanks, Evan. Great time. Great questions, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate having the great Brian Trottier here in studio. And yeah, thank you to all the questions. Obviously, we couldn't get to all of them, but some great questions came in, and lots of people. You can be an Islander fan, or you can just be a hockey fan. Always happy to hear a great like this gentleman on our show. Let's take a break. We'll come back with open lines here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.